Welcome to the MMA Roadshow. My name is John Morgan. Cold coffee with me. Episode number 45 coming at you right now. We are here in Las Vegas, beautiful Sin City, sitting at my dining room table as my son is over there watching Monsters, Inc. I'm just pulling back the curtain and keeping it real. I'm on babysitting duty tonight. Although Karen Bryant's husband, Wade, once told me, if it's your own kid, you can't call it babysitting duty. Yeah. It's just child care. And I was like, well, I guess that does make some sense.
It's called being a dad.
Yeah. Have to do that every now and then.
Yeah.
My wife is out. They've got a suite at the Cosmopolitan. They're partying it up.
Uh-oh.
And I'm just chilling here with you.
I know, right? What a letdown.
Definitely got the short end of that stick. I did find out earlier as I was trying to do a favor for her while she was rushing that I have no idea how to cut a mango.
Dude, it is one of the hardest things ever. I question how many listeners out there have not pulled up a YouTube video before. I mean, unless you grew up in an area where mangoes were like prevalent. I grew up in Columbus, Ohio. Mangoes was not a big thing. So, yeah. I feel you.
I struggled. Well, we are in Las Vegas, of course, this week at home. In our adopted hometowns for UFC Fight Night 82. The card that was supposed to be UFC 196 is now UFC Fight Night 82. Johnny Hendricks versus Stephen Thompson. The media days are in the books. It is Thursday night as we record this as usual. We had an ultimate media day. We had an open workout session today. A little bit lighter turnout than some of the events we've had.
Yeah.
We've had some blockbusters here lately. We've had some big events. Mm-hmm. But definitely a lighter turnout for the event so far this week.
Yeah, easily the last couple times. And I mean, it comes and goes, even though we can't expect it to always be full. But the last couple ones, I mean, it was at least two and at some points three people deep, you know, wrapped around. And this one today, there were gaps in the fence,
yeah.
You know, so you could see it. And, I mean, nothing against the guys that were there. I think, you know, maybe possibly it wouldn't have been the same. I hate to say it. If it was Kane and Verdum, it would not have been the same. I think a lot of people... You know, with just the quick switch turnaround, I think a lot of people either canceled their tickets, did whatever, and who knows? I mean, it's been a little bit colder in Vegas as well. You know, it did warm up by the end of the day, but, you know, I mean...
We definitely don't have all the Latin American media. You know, normally when Kane fights, you get these tons of outlets that we don't normally see.
Yeah.
Didn't have any of that.
I think there were a couple stragglers, because there's a couple guys I saw like sort of just tooling around that they didn't take part in the scrums, and they weren't taking part of any of the videos or anything, but they were just kind of tooling
so
around.
Like, well, my ticket's already paid for. I might as well go.
I mean, you figure we, you know, I guess we kind of do live in a bubble where, I mean, we tend to see the same media outlets.
Sure.
We see the same people around. So, you know, when somebody's standing there and just kind of off to the side looking awkward, it sort of stands out. So I noticed a few people that were there just kind of, I was like, what outlet is that? I mean, to be there, they had to get credentialed or whatnot. So, but to not be doing anything while you're there, I'm like, you know, they're probably just there like, hell, we bought the tickets. Just like you said, they're like, we got it. It's still Vegas. You know, when it all boils down, it's still Vegas.
It's not
some podunk wherever, you know, in the U.S. It's Vegas. So if you already got the tickets and more than likely the time's already been, you already took the time to go there, you might as well at least go. And I saw a couple people there today that's what it looked like.
Well, the UFC did two public outings, I guess you would call them, two public press sessions, which they don't usually do. Normally there's one kind of behind closed doors and one that's open to the public. And I think that's just to try to drive media. It's really funny today we were sitting there, or I should say drive foot traffic, not drive media, but to drive fan traffic. You know, they see it. It was kind of funny today while we were there at the open workouts. I actually had a fan kind of grab me, somebody that was just walking by and saw what was going on, and they were like, hey, can I ask you a question? I'm like, yeah. And they said, which one of these guys is going for the title and which one has it? And I'm like, oh, wow. Yeah, there's not actually a title fight, which I never really thought. I guess if you're a casual fan, I guess you just assume if there's something big going on, there must be a title on the line.
Yeah, and I wonder, too, because remember I point out at the end, there were still some, you know, even though if you discount the big giant banner that said Hendricks versus Thompson, there was still some signs up on the walls that still said UFC 196.
Right.
So if they're a somewhat casual fan, they might be thinking, oh, hey, that's a pay-per-view. I heard there was supposed to be a title on the line. Maybe didn't, you know, stay with the news that, hey, that got canceled and swapped around and whatnot. So who knows? But, yeah, I mean, it's interesting. And, you know, there were no huge names that I think most people are just like, oh, that's a fight that I'm definitely going to go. I mean, I'm not saying there's no huge names. These are great fighters. You know, the people there, were great. I mean, I don't think Jared Rosholt has really taken himself to the household name that most people would know. I think the people that are in the bubble and the people that are fans know who he is. But, you know, it's to be expected. Without those huge names, if it's not a Connor and if it's not a Rousey, unfortunately, I think there's still a lot of people that are just kind of, I don't want to say clueless, but just don't have the wealth of knowledge when it comes to all the different fighters that are out there. But
that's it. The fight that is happening is Johnny Hendricks versus the Wonder Boy, Stephen Thompson. I think it's a good main event. It's certainly not a championship status level fight, but I'm actually pretty intrigued by this fight, especially the fact that it's five rounds, knowing that Johnny Hendricks has kind of had some issues with cardio and the gas tank. So to have to go those extra two rounds means a lot. But Johnny Hendricks, watching him work out today, says he's weighing in at 172. We've seen a lot of Johnny Hendricks workouts, a lot of Johnny Hendricks press sessions, and normally fight week, I mean, he's a nice guy, but he looks, I mean, I hate to say it, but next to death. I mean, he looks awful. And not this week, man. I thought he was more present, more kind of lively. Certainly the physique looks fantastic, but you know, it seems like every damn time Johnny Hendricks fights, we're talking about nutrition, we're talking about weight.
Yeah.
But I don't know. To me, man, it looks like he's finally got this damn thing dialed in.
It seemed like he really, really took that to heart. I think he's heard so much about it and people have made such a big to-do about it. I think at some point, you got to start feeling like you're the butt of the joke, you know? Like, you know, you got to finally just say, enough's enough. I'm going to do whatever I need to do. And hearing him talk about a lot of things, somebody even asked him, I loved how the fact that he pretty much just worked out for, it was literally 2 minutes. I think he stretched.
You have video footage. Yeah, 2 minutes.
2 minutes. I think he stretched longer than he actually worked out. And so he just kind of decided, hey, guys, you know, you've all seen me hit mitts. You've all seen me do this before. How about I turn it around and instead see what you guys want? And so he literally at first was just talking to the crowd, answering questions. And then finally somebody got wise and they gave him an actual microphone and just said, here, all right, if you want to do this, let's do this. And he actually addressed the crowd. And one of the things he said was that he pretty much had been waking up for most of the days this week. He's been waking up at like 172. Mm-hmm. As the day went on, he put some weight on as he's hydrating, as he's working out or whatever, got up to like 178. But then he drops back down. So what he's telling me, he's already at weight.
Yep.
He's ready to go. I mean, that's the kind of thing that these guys, you know, they could literally just in that morning just do whatever the magic stuff that these guys do to kind of shed that off. And I wondered if that was part of the reason why, since he's been at this point, maybe he had a lower energy level to where he doesn't want to do a huge workout, you know? Because at this point, it's
true.
Heavy in cut.
Yeah.
He's heavy cut. I mean, we're day out from the weigh-in. No sense in mixing up what they've got worked out, you know? Don't work too hard to where your body maybe wants to, you know, be hydrated, where it's asking for water and all this other stuff. So he just kind of – he did his little thing, and I thought it was great because you're right – his personality was showing today. He was in good sorts. The crowd absolutely, I think, adored the fact that he just kind of said, you know, heck with it. What do you guys want? You know? And
you see me hit pads. Let's
you know, it. You've seen this, you know, what do you want? And he literally
held his little Q&A
session. People were asking. I don't think there was until it finally ended, and it was right about the point where UFC staffer Chris Costello from PR actually got on there like, all right, we need to take this over to the media. You know, like this has been going on for a while. And I thought it was great. I thought that was probably the best thing that could have happened. And not to jump to Thompson, but Thompson had great interactions with the fan as well. So it was good to see that even though it wasn't the fight that people initially thought that was going to happen, there were still great reactions from the people that were there. The fans that were there appreciated it. And I think the headliners did a great job of interacting and giving back to the fans that were there.
They did. I went ahead and Periscoped that when it was happening. So I should say at the MMA Roadshow is the Twitter account and the Periscope account.
Yeah.
So if you want to check that out, we're still learning Periscope. I don't know. I really don't know what the right use for it is yet, the best part of it. But, hey, I've been Periscoping these scrums. So when we're on the road, if you're just hanging around when it happens to be happening, I mean, we're going to put that video up on MMA Junkie eventually. But if you just want to watch it live while it's happening, we've been Periscoping it. And this little impromptu Q&A, we didn't put that up on Junkie. So if you want to see the fan Q&A section, it's on Periscope, and again, the Twitter account links to it at the MMA Roadshow. You mentioned Stephen Wonderboy Thompson. Confident. Man, the dude is confident beyond belief. He is in great spirits as well. Certainly weight cuts, no issue for him. I went with Johnny Hendricks just because I feel like Johnny Hendricks, you know, the former champion, the fantastic wrestling. But I got to say, man, there's something in the back of my head that tells me Thompson is just, I mean, this, he feels like this is his moment. And I think a lot of people agree. I know you throw a little parlay down every now and then, but I'm not a gambler. I don't put money on fights. I don't put money on anything, really, to be honest with you. I don't gamble. Not that I have anything against it, but there's just – there you go. Now you know something about me. I don't really gamble. But I do look at the odds and stuff like that. And, you know, he started out – Johnny Hendricks did as nearly a 4-1 favorite. And the last time I checked, he's just barely over a 2-1 favorite. So that means a lot of money is coming in on Wonderboy.
Sure has.
He looked good today, man. And it sounds like he's ready to go. And I tell you what, Johnny Hendricks has kind of made it sound like he feels like he can stand and trade with Stephen Thompson. I don't know if that's the greatest idea. I know that Johnny Hendricks has that powerful hand, dude. He can knock people out, but I don't know if you want to stand in front of that guy.
Well, and unfortunately, that's the thing about Johnny. He's so damn durable. No one can ever question the fact of his durability, but nobody's ever saying, man, Johnny, he's – look at that movement on his feet. Look how he dodges to the side. Oh, man, Dominic could take a step out of his book, you know. The thing about Johnny's that he just kind of goes forward. There's something about that, kind of what I think Lawler does as well. They're so tough. They're used to taking some hits, and I think it kind of wakes them up. The thing about that is that Steven does move, and he has these kicks and things that come out of nowhere, and I don't think Johnny wants to take too many of those because I think that'll start wearing him down to where if he starts to try to do the move and decide all of a sudden, hey, I should probably try to get this to the ground, that he might have expended so much energy just kind of absorbing those kicks to the midsection and whatnot. So, I mean, spinning kicks he was throwing were nasty. Ooh. And even the whole thing, how he had planned, I'm watching him as he's doing it. If you watch even the little bit of the highlights and stuff, the part of it is that he expects the opponent to come forward.
Right.
And he was even doing a couple things where he was doing a fake side kick and then switched it around and did like a little spinning back kick and then even taking it to the head. And the thing that's
he does
playing,
it in pretty close quarters. It's
very,
like
very
he
close
to, like,
quarters.
Way away. Close quarters, and he turns it in, and it looks like it hurts.
Yeah. And John did mention, like, he's like, what does he need? Three and a half feet. So I think he has it in his mind, like he knows there's certain distances that are – the red zone or the super danger zone. But those are where Johnny's striking needs to be as well. You know, you're not going to throw a hook from 5 feet out. You can, but good luck on, you know, on catching it or anything.
Right.
So he has to kind of get in that area. And if he's just plodding and just going straight forward, putting his head down and hoping to throw some haymaker, he runs the risk of catching some serious kicks. So hopefully I know he's aware of that. He's a smart dude, but, you know, like, I just hope Johnny has, you know, I feel a little bit about when it came to Bader recently, watching that fight. How is Bader going to close that distance with a guy that has that striking thing? This is another case of that where you have a wrestler, but a guy that's got power, but how do you close a distance that his main weapon is his leg, which gives him an extra foot of range? It's tough. It's a very, very tough question.
And he's so quick.
And he's super, super quick.
I love this fight, man. I really do. Certainly, I think we all would have enjoyed having a heavyweight title fight here as a five-round main event. But getting this to be five rounds is fun. The co-main event was there as well today. Roy Nelson, Jared Rochelle, two heavyweights facing off in the co-main event. Roy Nelson, I thought the guy looked good. I got to be honest with you. Roy, over the past couple years, love Roy. How can you not love Roy? He's fun to deal with. He's always in a good mood and joking around and that sort of stuff. He's a fun guy to talk to. But I don't know, man. Sometimes I got the feeling like he just wasn't interested in being there. Like, he was just doing it because this is what he does, and it wasn't his passion. And I don't know, man. I felt today and yesterday as well, just the past couple of days in dealing with him, I feel like he was having a good time. I feel like he was enjoying himself. I feel like he was, you know, passionate about it. And seeing him put on one of the great open workouts of all time, especially if you're a father like me, bringing his 3-year-old son to roll and do jiu-jitsu with him, I thought it was really cool. It did scare me because they were throwing that little dude around. Between him and Fresno Pajau, I guess, you know, little kids are pretty malleable little bodies there, man. But holy cow, man, they were throwing him around a little bit.
Dude, Fredson is not the first person I would say, hey, go in there and toss around Junior, you know. I mean, Fredson's the guy that back in Brazil that a lot of guys, if they wanted somebody to get hurt, and this is the stories I was told.
That's true.
If there was a guy that you wanted hurt in jiu-jitsu or whatnot, that's the guy that they put you up against because he would literally break something, he would bend something, do whatever, you know. So Fredson's a bad, bad man. So to see Fredson get in there and start doing this thing, but there was even though it was a little shocking, but you could see there was a delicateness to it as well.
Sure.
Like a guy that is at Fredson's level that could do this with such control of his body that a normal person like us would look at it, we're like, oh my God. But when you really looked at it and probably watched it in slow motion, you could see he was controlling the kid's body and
Definitely.
He was doing all this stuff. And Jax had an absolute blast doing it.
Yeah.
You know, now it's funny, like when I worked with the UFC, and this is years ago, when I'd see Roy do these things, he's kind of been doing this stick for ever, you know, even back then. I saw him do it with James, his striking coach's son. He brought them out to do it. He never really, I don't think he wants people to just look at him and say, oh man, look at his form, look at his body, look at this. I mean, I think most people look at Roy and they're like, oh, he should be in better shape or whatever.
Of course.
And then you take a punch by him, you're like, all right, I see why this dude's where he's at, you know. So I think for Roy, he wants it to be fun. And like, this is an obligation. It's not like any fighter that goes up, they didn't know they have to do these things. So it's not like they're like, oh, man, I just can't wait till the next time I have to do an open workout. It's just more like, fuck, you know, come on. We're doing fight stuff. I sign the papers. I do this. I want to show up. I want to beat somebody's ass, get my check, and go home. But you want me to do this? How can I make it a little more fun, you know? So he brings training partners' kids out there, you know. This one, now his son's finally old enough and he's been doing it. Now we can include his kid. So it's one thing to see him have fun with other people's kids. Now to be able to bring his own kid out, have this whole little session, and be able to have his kid be the focus and share a moment with his kid
That's
in
cool,
front
man.
Of everybody else. He's like, he was like a proud papa. He was like, let's do it. And you could tell that they had done it before. It wasn't like some awkward thing where he's like, Junior, all right, now I want you to act like this is
oh,
a
no.
fun thing. Like, you could tell this is what they do. And it was incredible. I loved seeing it. I mean, I think Roy is probably one of my favorite people that do this sport. And to see his family there and happy, his wife was off to the side. You know, you're kind of a little envious. You're like, the guy's living the dream right there.
Absolutely. You know, me being a dad, especially with a kid that's a very similar age as well, I'm sure that added to it. I thought it was a really cool moment. Jared Rosholt had put in a workout as well. Jared Rosholt, I got to say, he's growing on me a little bit, man. I not necessarily always put on the most exciting fights in the world. And he'll be the first to tell you that. He'll be the first to admit it. And I think that's what's great about it. He's kind of open to the fact that he's developing. You know,
yeah.
I mean, if he beats Roy Nelson, that's a big win. I know Roy's been in a slide and had some losses, but still a big name to have on your resume. And I talked to Jared both yesterday and today and was like, well, you know, where would this put you? And he's like, dude, I'm taking my time. I'm good. I got a lot of stuff to do. And, man, I know this guy catches a lot of grief, but I love his attitude and I love his openness to say, like, dude, I'm not trying to pretend like I'm fantastic. I'm a wrestler, and I'm doing what I know how to do, and I'm getting better every day, and I'm working my tail off to get better. And the guy's kind of growing on me a little bit.
Yeah, I think he kind of epitomizes that humble, like modest, big guy that just you can't help but like, you know, that you start to see in a lot of these heavyweights. You know, I think a lot of heavyweights could go out there and probably be like, yeah, I'm the biggest and baddest that's out there. But what's neat about a lot of these characters in the UFC is that they realize that, yeah, you know, I have to gain things. I can't just be this oaf that comes in and hits these guys that used to win these big bar brawls. Like, I think people expect now heavyweights to be as good as all the lighter weights that everybody's like, you know, usually says, oh, there's so much technique, there's so much this. I think now the heavyweights that are there are putting themselves to the same standard.
Mm-hmm.
And you get a character like Jared, who's just like, yeah, I know I got a long way to go, but hey, you know, I'm growing, I'm getting better. I love the when they're just humble and they understand that there's so much to go, because he's still a badass. I mean, the dude's number 12. I mean, that's incredible. He's already broached the top 15. I'm not sure where Junkie has him. The UFC has him at number 12. But, I mean, he's growing. And if he can pull off a win against Roy Nelson, is absolutely huge. By far the biggest name that he's, you know, fought. That would be a huge win. That would huge, you know, just catapult him forward. And if he can do it, I mean, He's facing a heavy, a big challenge in that. But what I loved about when he was speaking and when we interviewed him the other day, he's like, I'm not, you know, I've watched Roy fight. You know, everybody's seen fight. He's been, what, put down like twice?
Mm-hmm.
People don't knock out Roy Nelson. So what was great, he's like, I'm not expecting to knock him out.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's fine. Let's get that out of the thing. But I'm expecting to get the win, you know. So he realizes that he's got a tough challenge. But he's working on the things to get it done. So he's got the right mindset. I think a lot of times it could be the wrong when the guy's like, I'm powerful. I'm going to go in there. I'm just going to do like I do to everybody. You got to be, you know, come on. You're not going to do that to Roy. I mean, like, if you're Mark Hunt, maybe.
That's
you
about
know?
It.
That's
but
about
Mark
it.
Mark Hunt could knock out a horse.
Yes,
he could. There's no doubt about it. Well, we actually have Jared Rothschild in the MMA Junkie rankings at number 15 and Roy Nelson at number 13. So could be a big win for Jared Rothschild. That's what I picked Jared Rothschild in the staff picks. I picked Jared Rothschild. Not expecting it to be the most beautiful fight ever,
wow.
But I just see him being able to kind of press and control Roy. But I will say this, that was before I saw Roy kind of with this re-energized attitude and looking yep. really good out there and looking like he's going to be willing to not just try to stand and bang, but actually, hey, maybe I'll have to use some jiu-jitsu. Maybe I'll have to wrestle a little bit. And that I think he'd gotten away from that. I think he had turned into a little bit of a one-trick pony, you know,
yeah.
just trying to load up on the big shot. And I think that made him very predictable. So I won't say I'm regretting my pick.
I know. I love it. I love that you went Jared Rothschild.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
I went Jared Rothschild. I went Jared Rothschild.
That's cool.
So listen, of course, we're sitting here having a couple of frosty beverages. I am, of course, enjoying an award-winning Pabst Blue Ribbon. While
yes,
you're a little
yes.
bit fancy over there with the Not Your Father's Root Beer, the craft stuff, it's good stuff, man.
It is good.
If you haven't had it, seek it out. It's good.
Oh, yeah. And if you're in Chicago where you can get the stronger stuff, you're a lucky, lucky man.
It's just expensive, which is I can't hang
I'm
with you craft beer connoisseur like you are.
Hey, you know, this is the last one. This is the last one. I took a loan out and got this, and then I got the six pack. I took a loan out. I got a six pack, you know,
got
and after that.
The liquor store credit card, would that be that'd be great. Well, I'll tell you what. I'm going to go check on the little man over there watching Monsters, Inc. He's just right around the corner and make sure that he's doing okay and re-up on a frosty beverage at the same time. But doing it responsibly, I assure you. As we do that, check out a little bit of clip with Jared Rothschild. See if you like what you hear. I know that his fighting style might not be the greatest for everybody. I know that he's had some fights that weren't exactly fun to watch. But see if you just like the attitude, you like the honesty, and you like what he's saying. And maybe he'll make a new fan out of you, if not for his fighting style, at least for the fact that he's honest in what he's trying to do. So here he is, the Big Show, Jared Rothschild. Jared, I know it didn't start out that way, but now being the co-main event, you know, being featured here, workouts, that sort of thing. I mean, does it do anything for you, or is it just another day at the office?
A little bit of both. I think it's definitely makes it more exciting for me, you know, to be a little bit more involved in everything. And, you know, I did it once in New Zealand, and I thought it was a blast, and this is also a great experience.
Talk about Roy Nelson. I know you mentioned yesterday you have a lot of respect for him, but if there is criticism, maybe he's a little bit of a one-trick pony now with the big right hand. Is that really the way you look at him, that it's just avoid that one punch and you'll be okay?
No, I think Roy Nelson's dangerous all over. You know, he's a black belt. He's very agile for what he looks like and stuff. He's a complete athlete, really, and a great fighter, very dangerous. I wouldn't just say he's a one-trick pony.
You've been kind of patient in your work up to the top. You've got a great record in the UFC now. This would be a signature win. Where do you think it would put you? I mean, are you thinking about the upper echelon of the division right now, or do you still feel like you're a developing fighter?
No, I definitely think I'm still developing. You know, everybody knows I need to work on my striking, get better there before I get toward a title shot. You know, I know that. I'm not, nobody's holding blinders over my eyes. I know I need to work on it to be the best. So I'm just going to take my time, whoever they want me to fight. If I win here, somebody in the top 10 would be nice.
Now, you seem to be almost a throwback to a greater time for Americans in fighting. You had the Mark Coleman's, the Mark Kerr's, these really tough, strong Dan Severn wrestlers. But now it seems everybody's, I gotta know karate, or boxing, or jiu-jitsu. Do you ever see, like, you're carrying a torch of all these great guys, and where do you think it's going?
You know, I think I just stick with what I know, you know, what got me here. I think a lot of people lose track of that. They get to the UFC or a bigger promotion, they say, I gotta do this flashy, you know, Bruce Lee looking stuff, and it's like, hey, remember what got you there, you know? Those guys go 2-0 in the UFC and they're done, their careers are 0-2, you know, and they're done in their career. Yeah, I remember what got me here, you know, it wasn't boxing, it wasn't kicking, you know. So yeah, I believe I think I represent those guys well, the wrestling community.
Is there any particular wrestler that you look up to that turned MMA fighter?
Oh man. You know, of course Couture, he's a great role model for wrestlers in the UFC, so really looked up to him. I don't care what anybody says, I was a huge Brock Lesnar fan. I was a huge Cain Velasquez fan too, you know. I still look up to those guys.
You know, you mentioned being open to, hey, you got to work on your striking. Give us an idea. What's a typical work week like for you? I mean, how much are you working on your striking?
All the time. People, you know, of course you get your people on media and stuff. you need to go work on your boxing. I'm like, listen, bud, this is what I do every day of the week. I go, I work on my striking. I know I have no problem saying what my weakness is, you know. And, you know, I work on it all the time, every day of the week.
You talked about, you know, you just want to go out and win fights and do what you do and you stay true to yourself and win. But, you know, you are getting to that upper echelon now. There's going to be, you know, if your game's not flashy, you almost feel like, oh, you have to be flashy outside. Do you ever feel that pressure to, like, hey, I'm be more than just a nice, quiet guy? Like, you have to try to, you know, do something special out there?
You know, I think if I was going to act like that or, you know, try and be that person, I think I'd just come off looking like a fool, you know. That's just not really me. And the people who I know and that I know respect me would look at me and say, what are you doing? What are you trying to do here? You know, I couldn't do that to myself. I wouldn't cheat myself like that.
You see all these guys getting these opportunities. So, you know, Conor McGregor did what he did a lot of because of what he did outside the cage. So right. Do you think there's a ceiling on somebody like you who's just a good guy, who's a hard worker, who can win fights?
Definitely, I don't think it is in my favor to be like that, you know. But there's guys that get away with it, you know, like the Canes and stuff. You know, they seem pretty humble and whatnot. Even Cormier and all them. I think it's you can get away with it, but you know, when Conor McGregor does that and then he backs it up. He was right. I mean, I was wrong.
It seems like you take the criticism in stride. I mean, does it ever get to you, or do you like make sure you never go on the internet, or I mean, how do you deal with it?
You know, I block people who bother me. I reply to the people who are nice and stuff. And you know, for every dig I get from somebody, I get 50, you know, compliments. So it's just like, you know, get a life, man. You know, I've better stuff to do than sit around and listen to this. You know, I just, here you go. I block you off my stuff, and I'll never think of you again, ever.
Has anybody ever said it to your face?
No. No. Not that I do anything anyways. You know, I just look at him like, come on, man. Get real.
Welcome back to the MMA Roadshow. That was the big show, Jared Roadshow, taking on Roy Nelson, the co-main event of UFC Fight Night 82 this week in Las Vegas. The main event, I meant to say and I didn't slip in there, so weird to me, and I know this isn't a big deal, but it is odd when you think about the trajectories and where we consider it. Stephen Thompson is actually older than Johnny Hendricks by 9 months.
Interesting.
Seems weird because you think Stephen Thompson, Wonder Boy, is the up-and-coming guy. He's on his way up to the top. You know, meanwhile, Hendricks is the guy that's been there, and he's trying to earn his way back, and it's like, whoa, no, actually Hendricks is younger. So
wonder elder.
Actually asked him about that last week. He's like, no, that's just, I'll always be Wonder Boy. All right, a lot of news this week. Dana White was touring around the Super Bowl media day, and of course there's just every media outlet imaginable. He did mostly, it seemed like, Fox outlets, which makes sense, of course, since they're broadcast on Fox. But a ton of news was broken throughout the week with Dana White just answering question after question. The first thing that I guess we can pretty much confirm, it's not done yet. I don't think Dana talked about this one, but I did want to mention it. May 14th is UFC 198 now. That was supposed to be UFC Fight Night 88, if you remember. And Globo is reporting that Fabricio Werdum will face Stipe Miocic somewhere in Brazil. I was told by some people that, hey, the reports are a little premature. It's not done yet. Hang tight. That's why we haven't put anything up on MMA Junkie yet. I think it's pretty damn positive at this point that UFC Fight Night 88 is now UFC 198. It is now going to be a pay-per-view. It is going to be in Brazil. We still don't know which city it's going to be at in Brazil. Hoping to find that out soon so we can get you a visa if they'll ever decide to let you in the country. Although nowadays, if you're just going to go down there and pick up the Zika virus, you might not want to go down there anyway. But Fabricio Werdum versus Stipe Miocic seems to be what the UFC is the working plan right now. I don't know, man. What do you think about that? Cain Velasquez had surgery, says he's going to be good in a couple of weeks, and they're like, nah, bro, we're good. We're good. We'll figure out something else for you.
I don't know if it comes down to, I don't know what we'll call, like, the Jose effect. You know, you call in, you have injury enough, and finally it gets to a point where, like, oh, okay, you just had a little bit of an injury. Right. You're only going to be out for a little bit. And then they just finally said, all right, well, we already moved on beyond that. I mean, which is a little bit crazy because I still think that's the much bigger fight. I like the fact that, you know, they offered it to Stipe. Stipe said, yes, I'll take it. Then they, you know, kind of that fell off, and they're still kind of sticking and honoring it. I think it's great because I think Stipe's been deserving of it for some time. But still, if Kane says he's going to come back, why would you not go? That's the bigger fight. It's the bigger fan favorite, unless it's something I don't want to say personal, or he just pissed him off. Just like when Jose got to a point, they were just like, no, fine. You know, we're done with it. And I think that's ultimately why Jose didn't get the immediate rematch.
Absolutely. There's no doubt about it.
You know, so I don't know. It's I don't understand because it's not the bigger of the two fights. And for a company that's so big on let's make the biggest fights possible and make the most money that they can, the Kane fight is it. You know, so I don't know. I'm a little dumbfounded by
that.
I am
too. I'm a little surprised. I mean, props for Stipe Miocic, you know, being willing to step up on short notice and getting rewarded, like you said. And if this, you know, thing again, I will say again, I was told that the report is a little bit premature. It's not done yet. You got to think Cain Velasquez's people are going to step in the office with Damian Lorenzo and be like, hey, what's up, brother? Come on, we got to fix this. But I can understand it a little bit from the UFC's point of view, especially when you relate it to the Jose Aldo situation where the guy keeps getting hurt. So how can we keep booking him in fights? But the champ pulled out too. It wasn't like it was just Cain that pulled out. I mean, Fabricio pulled out of the fight as well. And I think for that reason, I would think that they could say, okay, you know, it sucks. So I'm going to hold judgment until everything's official, but that's what it's looking like right now. And I got to say, I'm a little bit surprised by it. I feel bad for Cain, man. I mean, here's a guy that, again, a lot of people will say could be the greatest heavyweight of all time, but he's had these injury issues over and over and over, and it's causing an issue for him. And it seems like this is really causing an issue for him now. So that UFC Fight Night 88 card that is UFC 198 now, though, it's looking fantastic. We thought Vitor Belfort versus Jacare was going to be the main event. It looks like it'll be the co-main now. What's up, buddy? I can't find the remote. You can't find the remote? I'll come find it for you, buddy, okay? We'll just finish up this segment, and then we'll come look at it, okay? All right. Hey, little man's here. You got to take care of him.
You know, and that's a universal problem. That's a grown man problem. Can't find the remote.
Can't find the remote.
That's a grown man problem.
Oh, he had to go to the bathroom. We just wanted to put it on pause while he went to the bathroom. I'll take care of that. Vitor Belfort versus Jacare Souza will be the co-main event now. Matt Brown versus Demian Maia is on that card. That's a hell of a top three fights right there. I am a little bummed, I guess, that Vitor and Jacare will be three rounds if it's going to be the co-main. But that's a fantastic card. Other big news, UFC 197, Daniel Cormier versus Jon Jones. All signs pointing to the fact that it's going to take place April 23rd here in Las Vegas. Well, you know, we've said that we weren't sure where it was going to happen. It looked like Southern California was the backup to New York. We've been saying for months we didn't think New York was going to happen. It does look like that's not going to happen. I had heard for the longest time that Southern California was the backup. When I was up in Boston, I had some people tell me that Atlanta was the backup. And now I'm hearing that it looks like it'll be Las Vegas. And I'm cool with that. I'm definitely cool with that. I guess it's going to be MGM. I'm kind of bummed. I'd love for it to be in that new arena because that's right about the time that T-Mobile Arena is supposed to open.
Yeah.
Would be fantastic if they can find some way to make it happen there. But I think there's something already happening that day. I believe, and I should have looked this up before we got on the air, but I believe there's a boxing date there already on that same date. So, but I think it's going to happen. I think it's all but – and, hell, it may get announced this weekend, to be honest with you. I wouldn't be surprised if it gets announced between now and Saturday. I actually taped this morning. I was over at the Monte Carlo, and I saw the new arena. I put it up on our Instagram, the MMA Roadshow Instagram. I took a picture of that new arena. You know, we drive by it on I-15, and then you see the backside of it, and it's, you know, it looks okay. It looks kind of nice. Man, when you get around on the other side of it, it looks sharp, man. That arena is going to be nice, and they're building this huge entertainment complex around it. There's all these, like, restaurants and bars and stuff that are going in. That place is going to be awesome, so I can't wait. But I was actually there to tape this morning with the UFC staff. We were basically taping for a countdown show. It kind of looks like they're going back to the format where they talk to journalists. I was there in the morning. Kevin Ioli came in right after me. Adam Hill was there waiting as well. So it looks like they're going back to this format where they kind of talk to journalists about, you know, how does this fight play out? What does it mean? All these certain things. But we were talking about Daniel Cormier versus Jon Jones as if it was the main event of UFC 197. So I'm assuming everybody is working under that. If they're already producing, you know.
You never know. Maybe they're just doing it for the shits and giggles, you know.
I thought about that. I was like, because they sent me an email and asked me if I'd be okay to talk about it. They were like, well, we'd like for you to talk about the two big fights at UFC 196 and the big fight at 197. I'm like, okay. Speak more,
yes. So this 197 thing, happening.
I really can't talk about this until I know where it's taking place. That's really going to have some serious effect on what I think is where. Because I need it. Would you consider it a dry desert climate like Las Vegas? Yeah. So that was pretty funny.
I mean, when you have these two, you got to have a stare down in the MGM now. We got to see what happens round two. You know, I think that's the question. Everybody's like, "What will it happen again?"
I don't think so. I don't think. And I talked about this a lot today. This was kind of one of the things we were talking about on the Countdown show. Is I guess it's not a spoiler. It's not my show. I don't care. No. I don't think Cormier is going to let John Jones get under his skin like that this time. I think he realizes he's got to keep his head in the game a little bit more.
Yeah, I agree. And I think he's – so much has changed for him since then. I mean, he's not – I want to say grown because he's already a grown-ass man. But just, you know, with what he does on the sports commentary, you know, doing the shows, he's had so much more time in the spotlight that I think he's much more sure of himself. I think – you know, most things probably aren't going to get to him like it was before. And I think, if anything else, now he probably believes in himself a little bit more. I think, not that he had doubt before, but I think John just was always able to get under his skin. So I think I don't know if there was a little bit of self-doubt or something that he just reacted to. I think now he understands. And one, he has the history of the previous fight. So I think, if anything else, you know, having that experience, having the knowledge of what happened before, what went wrong, He's pretty smart when it comes to fixing problems. So I think Daniel, if anything else, knows what went wrong last time, and he's not going to allow those same things to happen. So
I completely agree, man. It's like you were in the room when I was taping, man. That's exactly my attitude as well. So I think we're on the same page. But I'm definitely looking forward to it. Eli?
Yeah. Yeah.
You have made it back. Do you agree? Okay, Eli agrees. All right, UFC Fight Night 82. I just want to take a quick tour through the rest of the card. Some things that I'm looking forward to. I did see while we were hanging around this week, Derek Lewis, the Beast. He is facing Damian Grabowski. The Beast, that's right. Beast. All right.
What phrase did you learn today?
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's
good. It's
not
sticking with it.
That's all right.
Would you like to tell
the
world what you're trying
to? Well, I did try to get him to learn that's what she said, to use that in inopportune moments and whatnot. But he says it much cuter when he kind of makes a thing.
My wife's gonna
totally slap you. I know.
So Derek Lewis will be fighting. I will. So for the hardcore listeners, I will be sporting a red shirt for Derek Lewis's fight only on fight night. So if you want to do the Where's John game on Saturday night, pay attention during the Derek Lewis fight for the red shirt. If you'll remember, that dates all the way back to the Houston show, one where Johnny Hendricks, of course, did not fight, where he was supposed to fight Tyron Woodley, and he pulled out. But we talked to Derek Lewis earlier in that week, and he said that my blue shirt was bringing him bad luck and that I should definitely wear something else, maybe a red shirt. And so I ran over to Target. I bought a red shirt. It's an ill-fitting red shirt because it's essentially like an Under Armour, and I am a larger gentleman. But I do it for Derek Lewis.
And it works.
Because he's cool like that.
And you don't want to piss off Derek Lewis.
No, he's scary.
he's scary.
Like, Derek Lewis is the only dude that, like, if Anthony Johnson called me on the phone and was like, "I'm coming to your house right now to kick your ass," I'm like, "Where's Derek? I need Derek."
Derek, can you just sit out front?
Derek, so that'd be the one guy I'd turn to, man. I'd be like, "Bro, I got Rumble Johnson about to kick my ass. Derek Lewis, I need you, my man. Where are you at?"
He is an impressive dude. He is scary. I remember, I forget where it was. I don't think it was Houston, where he was just throwing around that huge body bag or whatever. It was like one of the heavy, like, punching bags, and they brought it in there just so he had something.
It was in New Orleans. The ground and pound in New Orleans.
Oh my Lord. It was scary. It was to the point where just like this guy, I had no doubt that he could go out in the parking lot and just pick up a small like Volkswagen Bug and just toss it.
Oh, my wife's Fiat sitting out
there. Oh, it'd be
just
done.
Chunk it.
Just done.
So definitely looking forward to seeing that guy fight. He's always fun. And just the sweetest guy you'll ever meet. And really doesn't like fighting. I mean, we'll tell you, he gets nervous, hates it, hates the feelings, but he knows that this is how he gets paid. And so that's why he does it. I'm a big Derek Lewis fan. Also a big fan of this Ray Borg versus Justin Scoggins fight. Number 15 in the world with Ray Borg, according to us, number 14 in the world with Justin Scoggins. But two guys that I think have a lot of potential in the future. I think that's one to keep an eye on. And I'm going to say it. Eric Winter has done his job. I am looking forward to this Mickey Gall versus Mike Jackson fight. I don't know if I've ever looked forward to a 1-0 fighter meeting an 0-0 fighter more than this fight. They have sucked me in hook, line, and sinker. Mickey Gall, of course, famous for, as the man who called out CM Punk. He gets an opportunity to come fight in the UFC. They find Mike Jackson. It was Mick Maynard, Legacy FC promoter, that actually helped the UFC, as I understand, find Mike Jackson, identify this as a guy that makes sense. Mike Jackson, a guy that's been a credentialed member of the media at UFC events. Now he's stepping into the octagon. I love it. Now, we actually had a chance, thanks to the fine folks at Go Fight Live, we actually had to put a chance to put up the entire Mickey Gall fight, his professional debut. So if you want to watch it, yes, you got to see a couple seconds of it on Looking for a Fight with Dana White. We have the entire fight. It was a first-round finish. So if you want to break him down, you can. There's a lot of footage out there on Mike Jackson as well. He was fighting as an amateur, but there's still a lot of footage out there. He's done some boxing and some kickboxing as well. But, you know, are they the two most skilled fighters on the card? Are they the two best fighters on the card? You know, are they Joseph Benavidez level or, you know, Vince St. Preux level? I mean, no. But I'm telling you what, man, the storyline that's around this, and I kind of hate myself for saying that because it sounds so damn professional wrestling because I'm talking about a storyline. But I don't know, man, seeing like their enthusiasm, what's on the line, what it means for them, I'm effing stoked for this fight.
Yeah, you gotta feel the excitement level and the fact that they are literally on the verge of, you know, fighting a guy, or possibly both of them fighting a guy that everybody's been waiting to see in CM Punk. But listening to them talk, they had a level of just experience and just something about, they were so level-headed.
Yeah.
And just talking, I didn't feel like I was listening to a guy that was 0-0, you know, and getting ready to make a debut in the biggest MMA organization in the world. And then seeing Mickey Gall, I mean, he just, you know, was so sure of himself, and I just, it's amazing. I mean, I'm looking forward to the fight pretty much as any other fight on the card. And if anything else, I think a lot of people are going to be looking at it just for the fact of this is the guy. I know CM Punk's going to be watching that fight. You know, and I kind of be interested if he's going to be there in the crowd watching. And maybe if there is, maybe we can get a little call-out action
there. I
hadn't
even thought about that. I hadn't heard it. But it would make sense.
And especially if one of them just go right over to the cage, just call him out, set up a little moment. I wouldn't be surprised if it just gets kind of pushed there so it could kind of possibly happen.
I mean, it would make
some
sense. I mean, that's what CM Punk does, right? Yeah. Like, I mean, he built a career out of being a professional wrestler.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. I've never seen a minute of him professional wrestle. I don't know if he's any good, but I know he's famous. And I know that people say he's really good on the mic. And I know that every time I've ever talked to him, the guy is extremely well-spoken, extremely educated, gets the sport. So it would make some sense.
Yeah.
I'd love to see it happen. So I am pumped up about that. As my little man here is getting fidgety, Monsters, Inc. is over, so it looks like we're going to have to put on another movie for him. As I do that, I wanted to play both the Mickey Gall and the Mike Jackson audio because I just want you to hear these guys. I mean, hear the enthusiasm, hear what it means to them. You know, these aren't long clips, just a couple of minutes each. I will say that Cole Coffey has some explaining to do because the Mickey Gall audio is missing my first question. When every damn time we do a video interview, I sit there and wait for you to focus, and I go, are we okay? And you go, yes, we're okay. And then I start my first question, and somehow we don't have my entire first question.
You know, when I said we're okay, I mean, we're in focus. But I was like, oh, wait, I got to hit the record button.
So imagine, if you will, that this first interview with Mickey Gall starts out by me saying, well, Mickey, you asked for this. Now it's here. You got it.
Heck yeah.
How does it feel compared to what you were expecting?
It feels great. I got to what I was expecting. I expected this. I definitely expected to be here one day. Not right now as a 1-0 fighter, but I'm ready. This is, you know, anyone who trains with me or knows me knows I was going to be here at some point. I got here a little early. Cool. I'm a fighter. I'm ready to fight, you know, earn my keep. I'm going to excel here.
When you made the call out of CM Punk, you knew Dana White was in the house, obviously.
Yes, sir.
But did you think to yourself, this might work?
Yeah, that's why I said it. I figured I was still tossing up a little bit of a Hail Mary, but, you know, it got caught and got ran with. So Yeah, it's great. I didn't expect it to work this great, to be honest. I'd be lying if I said that.
Nice. Well, appreciate the honesty. Is the CM Punk fight something that really matters to you? I mean, are you the guy that like just really wants to beat this guy? Does he bug you? Or was it just like, this is the easiest way in?
Easiest way in. Quickest way in. I saw the path. I saw, you know, I was going to be 1-0. He's 0-0 as a leg record. I can make that fight could happen. I'm that CM Punk guy, that guy who called out CM Punk. I will not be remembered as that. I'm going to be remembered for what I'm going to do in my UFC career. That's what I'm here for. That's the only reason I said that man's name. He's going to be my stepping stone to do what I'm going to do in the UFC.
Very nice. What's the feedback like been so far? I can see some people being happy for you, but I know this sport has some haters too.
Yeah, much more love than hate. A lot of support. I'd say my people who care matter to me, my friends, my family, are so motivated by this. I think winners get motivated, losers get jealous, and cry. There's a couple guys who are gonna kill me online, I guess, and it's cool. I'm loving this. I'm having a great time.
Nice. Talk about Mike Jackson. What do you know about him? Breaking him down. What do you think he's an ample opponent?
I guess he's kind of a tough guy, but I'm not gonna have problems with him. I'm gonna dispose of him. I'm supremely confident against Mike Jackson. He's not of my caliber. He fought a couple times, hasn't fought in a little bit. I'd be fighting this month if I wasn't here. I'd be fighting in Jersey or somewhere. You know what I mean? This is what I've been planning on doing. I was going to grind my way here. I don't think he's the same. I know he doesn't want as much as me. So I'm going to put a hurting on him on Saturday.
No, you can't look past this fight, but where does the road go from here? Because maybe it is CM Punk, maybe it isn't. But there's not a lot of 1-0, 0-0 guys that you can fight in the UFC. So while it's great that you're here, it's going to be a tough road after this fight.
Yeah, but I welcome that. I'm ready for that. I've been training with some of the toughest guys in the world for years. I expect to be 3-0 after beating CM Punk. I'll beat Mike Jackson, I'll be 2-0. I'll beat CM Punk, I'll be 3-0. And then... Then the fun starts. You know what I mean? I mean, actually, after this, the fun starts with CM Punk and stuff. But this is all fun now. But yeah, then my UFC career starts, and I get to separate myself from just that guy who fought CM Punk. Then I get to get to prove what I'm capable of against real fighters.
So for a lot of people, this will be the first Mickey Gall fight they've ever seen.
Yeah.
Since you don't want to be just that CM Punk guy, what can we expect to see from you?
I'm gonna hit hard to the head. And if he stays awake there, I'll take him down. I'll either put him to sleep with a choke or I'll break something off. I'm ready. I love the opportunity. I get 15 minutes to show what I do every day, two times a day, most of the time. I'm looking to show off, for lack of a better word, in there, show what I'm capable of. So check me out on Fight Pass. I'm gonna smash this guy. I can't wait. Can't wait.
Well done. Let me get a couple questions outside of your fight. Johnny Hendricks, Stephen Thompson, main event. Who you got?
Oh, man. I mean, Johnny could wrestle him, or Thompson could cash him with something. I really don't know. I don't know, man. I think I'm in Johnny Hendricks' locker room, so maybe I'll go with him.
Good choice. Cowboy Cerrone moving up to 170 pounds in 2 weeks to fight Tim Means in another UFC main event. Could be a fun one. Who you got in that one?
I got to go with Cerrone. Means is tough. Cerrone's a bad. I love Cerrone. He's a badass man. He's like anytime, anywhere. One of those guys. I love that. I'm going Cerrone on that one.
Last question I got for you. Big news this week: Benson Henderson leaving the UFC, going to Bellator. What do you think? Is this the start of some kind of new era of free agency in mixed martial arts, or is this just one guy making a choice?
I mean, you've seen a couple of guys do it, but I don't. UFC is where you want to be. That's the NFL. That's the separate, Bellator, yeah, they're doing stuff, and it's becoming a little more even, but it's not Pepsi, Coca-Cola. It's the UFC, and then it's everyone else, you know what I mean? UFC is where you want to be.
So that was Mickey Gall, the man who challenged CM Punk and may get a chance to fight him. But first, he's got to get through this man, Mike Jackson.
Waiting on some food?
Yeah, I was trying. We was leaving the hotel, and my dudes was running out. And they was like, "Mike, we gotta go." I was the reason we're kind of late. So it's my fault.
Good to know. Good.
It's my first one. I gotta be fashionably late, right?
That's right. Well, talk about
what kind of shoes you got on, man.
I got one for you. I'll be there.
All right. Oh, my shoes. They got my food over there. Cool.
Well, Mike, just sum up the experience so far. I mean, coming from relative anonymity to now, media day at the UFC. What's it like for you?
Relative anonymity, I guess, to the masses, but, you know, I have a great fan base. Those who don't know, I'm a media member, and I cover majority legacy fights. I've covered some UFCs and Invictus and things like that. But, yeah, I mean, it's a flip, you know. I'm normally the one sticking the mic in someone's face. But it's just, I'm enjoying the ride. It's fun.
Talk about the fight itself. I mean, you weren't the one that asked for this experience. It kind of came to you. Does that put you in an advantage or a disadvantage in terms of mentality, pressure, all those things?
I think this whole experience is giving me an advantage. Again, I have the experience being in this environment, whether I'm covering the sport or whether I'm fighting. You know, again, I've experienced all this. I've fought in front of the cameras. I've been in the environment. I know what to expect. My opponent, Mickey Gall, he's never been here. He's come from a small town in Jersey. You know, when Dana White discovered him, he's fighting in a bar somewhere or whatever kind of venue he was fighting in. I fought in front of thousands of people before. I fought in front of the cameras. So for me, there is no pressure. And plus, I enjoy his stuff, man.
It's weird because the stakes don't seem to be clear for you. I mean, Dana said, you know, Mickey Gall is fighting for the right to fight CM Punk, and then he's been a little less clear on if that's the same stakes for you. Do you feel like you're fighting for a right to fight CM Punk, and have you made that clear with him at all?
You know, I'm just fighting. Look, man, I just like fighting, you know, and that's how I look at this. There, if I start thinking about all the other little incentives, it may add some unneeded pressure. I don't need that, you know. I don't like the pressure. Look, even in my personal life, I don't like pressure. Look, stay away from me, you know. I understand the outcome could be I could get Punk, and I'm well aware of that. That's the ultimate goal, because that will take the Mike the Truth brand to another level, being the one person that the fans wanted. You know, the MMA fans, they don't want CM Punk here, you know. They don't like the idea, and I'm cool. I remember when I released the story myself, I kind of was taken back a little bit, but I understand this is a business, and you bring in Punk from a business standpoint to make money, but I'm the guy that will come in here and end that journey real quick with one punch.
UFC.com has you listed at 11-10. To be fair, this is your professional MMA debut, correct?
This is my professional MMA debut. Unfortunately, I have the whole Michael Jackson thing. It's a common name, and someone didn't do their due diligence and select the right Michael Jackson. But it is what it is.
Well, for the fact that a lot of people won't have seen you before, what can we expect to see from a Mike the Truth Jackson fight?
Entertainment, man. I'm a showstopper, and I have knockout power in either hand. So if my left or right connects on the chin, it's go to sleep time. I call it the pudding pop.
I won't even touch that one. Let me ask you, since you are a media member, let's get you to break down this main event. Who you got in Johnny Hendricks, Stephen Thompson?
You know, I actually ran into Johnny Hendricks today. I was doing some interviews, and he came right behind me. Johnny looks good. He's only about 4 or 5 pounds away. I can't remember the last time Johnny Hendricks has been that close to weight this far out, you know. He has a nutritionist now, so he's eating properly and doing the correct things. I know his camp changed a little bit from takedown to he's out in Fort Worth now. We may see a new Johnny Hendricks. We may see a resurgence here with this whole diet thing finally in order, you know. I spoke with him. They were trying to get him to move the middleweight. He didn't want to move the middleweight. He felt that he had a lot of things to accomplish here at welterweight. Obviously, he wants to get that title, you know, get that one. So I think, you know, he's doing the right thing. You know, as far as Stephen Thompson, he's a phenomenal fighter. You know, he's talented. He has a good stock. You know, I know his brother, Evan. So we'll see if he possesses the skills to take out the new Johnny Hendricks.
AL3, the official DJ of the UFC.
Welcome back to the MMA Roadshow. John Morgan, Cole Coffey. Little man is over there watching Toy Story now, so we've got some time. Not that he didn't do a fantastic job of jumping in as the third man in the booth. Should say, if you're not already, make sure you subscribe to us on iTunes. And review us. Rate us and review us. I got no new reviews. I was going to read some new reviews. I like sharing what people are saying. I got no new reviews, so I can't do anything like that. So do that. Leave us some feedback, and I will read that. I will read your feedback on the air and let everybody know what you think about it. You should definitely do that. We're on Stitcher. You can do that. I still don't know what Stitcher is, but that's just because I'm old. I'm old. I'm nearing 40 years old, and I can't keep up with all this fancy technology. But it sounds like it's an important thing and a good thing. And hey, if you happen to be from Stitcher, I think it's a fantastic company.
Yeah.
I just don't know what it is. And of course, so you can always just direct download it at the MMAroadshow.com. You can follow us on Twitter at MMA Junkie John for me, at Ken S. Hathaway for the guy that you don't hear, at The Cold Coffee, T-H-E-E, to interact with them there, and of course at the MMA Roadshow. I've actually added at the MMA Roadshow to my tweet deck thing, so now it was kind of just a thing that was existing before. Yeah. Now I'm going to actually try to interact with people, so if you want to hit me up there, you can do it. I know I'm learning.
Look at
that. Listen, man. We don't have a strategy in play here, all right? We there is no master plan.
Well, I just drink
don't,
beers.
Well, that was part of it. Frosty beverages were part of it. But, you know, as far as growing this thing, there's no business plan in place. It was just like, you know what, man? I don't get a chance to talk about MMA enough, and I want to do it. And that's how we started this thing. Speaking of talking MMA, I told you a couple weeks back that my man, the magnificent one, Steven Morocco, was hearing about BJ Penn versus Dennis Seaver at UFC 196. It looks like that's all but done. It's going to happen. We tried to tell you about it weeks ago. I'm going to tell you about another one that I'm hearing about. Steven Morocco tells me Junior Dos Santos and Ben Rothwell are going to be the main event in Croatia. UFC Fight Night 86, a huge heavyweight fight. The former champ, JDS, Ben Rothwell, the main event, Croatia. Myself and Cold Coffee are going to be there. What do you think about that matchup?
I think it's incredible.
I like it, too.
I love it. I mean, what's not to like about it? Ben Rothwell. and JDS. Unfortunately, I don't have any JDS noises. But, wow, what a fight. I think that's absolutely incredible. I mean,
that's great. We couldn't get it confirmed enough to put on the website. Now, here's the thing. At MMA Junkie, we don't bullshit, man. We don't want to throw out, hey, we're hearing this may be happening.
No.
We're hearing there's the potential of this.
No.
We don't want to do that, man. We don't want to do that to
it.
People. Well, that's different. That's different. We won't put it. If it's on the website, that thing is locked up, man.
Yeah,
we're not willing to do that. But here,
Roadshow, drinking beers.
Roadshow, having a cup of frosty beverages, talking about whatever.
It's just two drunk guys talking
stuff.
I'm just telling you.
I'm not drunk. I'm babysitting.
I know.
I'm not babysitting. I'm childcare.
But if we say we're drunk,
then the
bull crap we say is can be, you know, just blamed at that. Like,
is that right?
I don't know.
That has never worked with my wife.
That's never worked anyway. It's never been a defense
like,
that's got anybody out of jail.
I was drunk. You can't hold that against me.
Come on, man.
Big news this week. Benson Henderson going to Bellator. I got to be honest, man. You know, I saw a lot of people saying, well, we all knew Benson Henderson was going to Bellator. That was very painfully obvious. I didn't. I knew he was going to use his leverage. But I thought, you know what, man? They're going to work this thing out, man. Benson Henderson is playing his cards right. We know he didn't like the Reebok deal. You know, in South Korea, it was a big deal, man. You know, if you go back and watch those weigh-ins where he wore his gear inside out, listen, we had been told that there was a possibility they would cancel the main event because he didn't want to wear Reebok. And we're talking about a fight night. They were going to stop him from walking out. So that was a big deal. We know he didn't like the Reebok deal. But I thought they were still going to work this thing out. I thought he was going to get paid. I thought he was going to use it for leverage. But no, he is in Bellator. Big, big news. I will say this, though. Post-fight press conference, I don't know if you remember it, but I remember it pretty vividly, that I kept trying to press him on it a little bit. And what he said was, I don't know what comes next, but I know I'll retire in the UFC.
Yeah.
You remember that? It stuck out to me.
That's the main thing I took from it was the fact that
I think
he wants to go. I mean, I think he maybe planned on it, you know, and just wanted to moonlight for a little bit, get some more money.
And then come back.
And then come back.
That's what I'm thinking too, right? That's the master plan. Go over there, make some cash. I mean, dude, you go win the Bellator belt. You knock off a couple of their top fighters. You know, hey, maybe you even pull some Conor McGregor stuff with, you know, win belts in two weight classes. And then you come back to the UFC.
Yep.
They got to pay you pretty well at that point. So you're with me. That's the master plan. He's going to come back.
That's what I think. And you know, it could get to a point, too, when if he fights a couple more fights, who knows how long he wants to keep going.
Mm-hmm.
He might not even expect to get as much money that he's getting from Bellator if he did come back. He might just want to be able to come back and say, just to hang his hat up and say, I started with the UFC. Well, not that he started, but I was with the UFC, and then I'm ending with the UFC, just like he said, a man of his words or whatever. So, I mean, I think he does set up the chance that he can make more money, but I honestly think that if he really just wants to retire from the UFC, he might just want to come back because he's at the waning end of his career anyways at that point. He might accept less money just to be able to come back.
And retire. It's kind of like you think about pro athletes that, you know, they go to another team.
They just want
to
make it back to their team.
And come back to their original team. Like, yeah, they went and moonlighted for a little bit. I think, you know, me being a Dallas guy, Emmitt Smith, you know, went and played a couple years away. And then you come back and you sign that one-day contract or whatever so you can retire as a Dallas Cowboy. Yeah. You know, maybe you come in and you fight one more fight so you can retire as a UFC fighter.
Someday Johnny Manziel will want to come back to Cleveland. No, I'm just kidding. F
and don't rush him out of town, dude.
I mean, LeBron came back, you know. So whatever, I'm off track. But yeah, I mean, I see him coming back at some point. I think if anything else, he's making a great move, and it doesn't seem like there's any ill will. I mean, like, he hasn't bashed the UFC, hasn't did anything. You know, he's doing all the right things to allow himself to come back.
Well, it's funny you say that, Cole Coffey, because Benson Henderson is now the source of some tension. Between me and well, I don't want to say me, but Dana White and the folks at MMA Junkie.
Yeah.
I was able to get comment from Dana once Benson Henderson went to Bellator. Once it was official, I said, let me hear from Dana, because I've been told in the past by UFC officials, like, listen, if we want somebody, we'll get them. We'll pay what we need to pay. We'll do what we got to do. If we want somebody, promise you, we will work it out. So when they decided to let Benson Henderson go, and I'm not saying it was complete then, but they, you know, at the end of the day, they have matching rights. And, you know, what I was told was that they thought about it, and they were like, no, you know what, this is the right contract. And Dana went out of his way to tell me, he's like, John, I'm not mad. I'm like, dude, you got to be pissed, right? I mean, this dude kind of hosed you. And he's like, John, I'm not mad, man. He's like, I'm really not mad. Like, I wish Benson Henderson all the best in the world, man. And it sounded genuine. I've had a lot of conversations between press conferences and the number of interviews I've watched with him. I can't even tell you how many conversations I've had with Dana White. And I'm not talking about, like, we're boys, we go hang out. But I'm just talking about the number of press conferences, scrums, the hours and hours and hours that I've heard this guy talk. I think I've got a pretty good bullshit detector when it comes to Dana White. I know when he's lying to me. I know when he's, like, fibbing a little bit. I mean, you spend time, right? You just get it. Anybody in the world has ticks. They have tells. You're like, hold on, man. You're not telling me the truth right now. Anybody that you've been around. I think he was being earnest, honest. I think he was being truthful. He was telling me, I'm not mad. I think this is the right contract for Benson Henderson. He is getting more money up front. He's getting paid right now. And I honestly feel like he's making the right move right now. And Danny went out of his way to tell me that. Now, he did say, but I was like, why would you let him go? Why? I mean, I understand that. You're happy for him. But I know you can pay. Because at first I thought, did they do something you couldn't match? He's like, no. I can – like, what they – the terms that they threw out there, I could match. Well, why'd you let him go? And he said the comment that, you know, listen, I'm looking for guys on the way up. This is a former world champion. He's ranked number 15 now. I'm looking for guys that are going from 15 to 1, not 1 to 15. I'm looking for those top tier guys. And those are the people I want to invest heavily in. Which it sounds like Bellator invested heavily in. And I can get, when you take it in print, when you take it out of context, when you just take it and you can't hear the inflection in somebody's voice, you can't hear the way it was delivered, I can get how it looks like, oh, that was a jab, he was talking shit. I could totally get that. But when I was talking to him, I didn't get the, you know, of course I heard it, but I was like, I don't think he was really talking trash. I think he was just being honest. So listen, if we're going to make large investments in people, it's going to be people on the way up, not people on the way out. Kind of like the way a major sporting franchise wouldn't pay money for an aging free agent. You know, you don't want to pay for that guy. You want to pay for the guy that's on his way up. And I don't think he meant it as an insult at Benson Henderson, but unfortunately, it got kind of painted as that way, and there were some headlines, and word got back to me that Dana was pretty upset that his quotes were taken out of context, and that he's a little frustrated right now. And I don't think, unfortunately, I think what sucks about it is I don't think he's ever going to comment on a situation like that again. If they lose Aljamain Sterling, if they lose Alistair Overeem, if they lose anybody else that's a top free agent, unfortunately, because so much was made out of that one comment, I don't think I'm going to be able to get Dana White on the phone again to talk about it, and I'm kind of bummed about that. I kind of get where he's coming from.
I get how it sounds like a shot, but all I can say is just a dude sitting here drinking a frosty beverage. You know, when I was talking to him at the time, I didn't feel like he was taking a shot at Benson Henderson, to be honest with you. And I don't know. It sucks because now I feel like I'm not going to be able to get that reaction if some of these other guys leave.
You're right. But I think you're also right in the fact that you know Dana. I mean, you're not just guys that follow each other on Twitter. I mean, like, you actually have numbers. His number's in your phone. He's got your phone.
Such an inside joke there.
I know, right? And he has yours. But the fact is, like you said, you didn't take it. You know, you heard that, you know, I'm sure it registered. But the fact in the whole scope of what the conversation happened, it was a matter of, like you said, the inflection. It's one thing if he's like, hey, John, you know, we're trying to get guys that, you know, are maybe working through the prime, going from, you know, 15 to 1. He didn't say, you know, I'm trying to get guys that are going from, you know, 1 to 15.
Not interested in that.
Not interested in, you know, in, it says
world
a whole
champ,
big
now
difference.
You're just 15 now? That,
yeah. I mean, yeah. So when you take it like that, and you're right, print has no inflection. That's why a lot of people, you know, they said don't fucking have certain conversations in text because you can't read anything in the text. You know, I can write a phrase on there that says something like, you know, I love your mom.
Right.
That could mean like, dude, I love your mom. Like, right. If you know me and your
she's
mom
awesome.
Are buddies, I love your mom. Your mom's awesome. But if you see it in type, like, dude, what are you saying about
my
mom?
That?
Like, that's kind of weird. So, you know, there's a lot of areas. And it's unfortunate because, you know, as we did say earlier, I hope it's a matter of it's just a short-term thing that Dana just like, whatever, you know, that hopefully blows over. But it sucks. And it's one of those things that, yes, as a media outlet, typically you don't want to have to say, well, the guy said it, you know, it's not like we're making this stuff up.
Right.
But when you choose to pick something and kind of make it like a tabloid and just say, oh, look at this thing. Oh, let's make more to do. You know, that's the whole thing. Why you always see guys online like this was taken out of context, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I hate that, you know, I'm not like I'm trying to throw other people under the bus, but I can totally get why he felt upset about the fact that one particular phrase out of a conversation was made and then context was put behind that of a certain manner.
Right.
Then you start making opinionated. But the unfortunate thing is when it's in print, people start taking it like fat because it's on the internet.
Right there.
It's in print, so it must be true. Wow, Dana was jabbing at him. It's like you can't say Dana was jabbing at him. All you really need to say is Dana said this, and it could be taken as this and blah, blah, blah. But really try to make an opinionated piece. Don't put too much into it. And unfortunately, you know, it does happen because it's out there. You know,
yep.
That's why it's tough. Anything you say, I mean, you know, heaven forbid when people start really taking what I say, you know, and start holding me against it. I mean, I do love your mom. I'm just saying. So hopefully it blows over and, you know, in a couple months. But you're right. There could be news that happens soon that right now there's a possibility that, you know, you might have that speed dial. I mean, I wouldn't take his number out of your phone, you know. But
It sucks to not be able to get that. So just throw that out there so everybody kind of knows what's going on. You know, we're just an open book here. Speaking of Dana, how about this? Did you notice the artwork around, and Dana talked about this week, the Conor McGregor the Rafael Dos Anjos Conor McGregor fight. Did you notice the posters now have Conor McGregor wearing his belt?
No,
the belt is over the shoulder, and Dana actually did some interviews out at Super Bowl weekend and said, you know what? Conor was right. We were wrong. He needs to have his belt on the poster.
Oh, my God.
Maybe he did go have that conversation with the people in the poster
maybe
department.
He must have or just decided what the hell. Or at this point, you know, I mean, he really is running the UFC at this point. It's unreal. I mean, I don't know. That's just crazy.
I mean, it's cool. You got two people with
belts.
It does,
yes.
Two shiny things equal more hype. We said earlier, you know, it would have been, you know, Kane Verdum Kane, however you want to say it, you know, having the belt would have meant more for this card. Having two belts, what's better than one belt, Kenny? Two belts.
Yes, but I think he proved – he made the best statement when he first talked about it. There's one belt up for battle, if you will. You know, yes, Conor has a belt, but, you know, the belt's not up for a challenge at that point. So it's like, yeah, you can put it – people know who Conor is. It's not like you need to see Conor's belt to know that that's Conor McGregor. You know, they just – anything this dude wants, man, they're just doing it. They're just – Whatever you want, Conor. You want this? How about we just take Dos Anjos' name off it and just put McGregor fighting that Brazil traitor? Brazil Trader. Just brand it Brazil Trader at that point, you know.
It's just UFC 196, Connor.
It's Connor.
It's just Connor.
Connor fighting traitors.
Oh, that's awesome. I'm bummed. It sounds like he's going to do an open workout in Los Angeles. We're actually going to be in London, but we will definitely have somebody there to cover that. Conor McGregor, Rafael dos Anjos will both be working out for the media a week ahead of the fight. He's going to make his way over from Ireland, so we'll definitely have full coverage of that at MMA Junkie. And then, of course, Fight Week will get nuts, man. Conor McGregor Fight Weeks are something special. They really are. More news. Luke Rockhold, Chris Weidman, the rematch happening in June. Sounds like UFC 199, which is funny because Luke Rockhold specifically said, I hope I don't have to fight on UFC 199. Told MMA Junkie that because it's like, dude, you want to be on 200.
Yeah.
But I got to say, all these damn rematches that are happening, people are like, ah, this one makes sense, that one doesn't make sense. I'm okay with this rematch, and basically I'm okay with it because Yoel Romero – suspended right now, or the facing a potential suspension, I should say. He did fail a drug test. His team is waiting for the B sample to come back. They believe that the B sample will prove his innocence. But with Yoel Romero kind of locked up, I'm okay with him doing a rematch there. I actually thought Jacare won that fight with Yoel Romero, and had Jacare been free, or even, to be honest with you, had Yoel Romero been free and available, you know, I would say that a rematch wasn't necessarily in order. I mean, Chris Weidman did an amazing thing in his run as champion. I mean, the guys that he beat were incredible, but it wasn't like he was champ for 10 years. But to me, with Jacare losing and, you know, locked up with Vitor, which I think does make some sense, with Yoel tied up with his issues, I think a rematch is okay here.
Yeah, I mean, when you put it like that,
yeah,
it certainly does make sense. I mean, because when you put it in the fact that it was not a good, I hate to say it, was not a good showing for Weidman. I mean,
right.
It
wasn't.
Luke was just so hands above in that particular performance. Yeah, it'd be nice to see how Chris corrects things. But, you know, we've seen other ones recently where somebody just got their stuff handed to them and they didn't get the immediate rematch. But, you know, Luke's got to fight, I guess. I mean, rather than make him wait for whatever if he wants to fight. I mean, he certainly didn't take any damage in that fight. You know, he looked perfect, but, you know, it just, if we get another outing of that, I mean, what's that going to do to Chris? I mean, if you take another bad beating like that.
That's the danger. You find yourself in that Rich Franklin spot. You know, Rich Franklin lost twice to Anderson Silva, and then it was like, well, you better find something else to do because you're not fighting Anderson Silva again.
Yeah.
Well, it is an interesting position to be in. I think we're going to get to speak to Luke Rockhold this week. And I think he was at Super Bowl Media Day, and I think he's going to be in Vegas. So maybe we can pick his brains about that. Speaking of potential suspensions, USADA, Tim Means pulled out of his fight. I hate that. I thought that Tim Means-Donald Cerrone fight was going to be great. It is funny now. We get Cowboy versus Cowboy instead in Pittsburgh. You and I won't be there. We'll actually be in Houston earlier that weekend for the Bellator event. And then I will actually be flying that day to London. You'll be joining me later that week. So we won't be there for that Pittsburgh event. But hate to see Tim Means out. I mean, the guy doesn't seem like a steroid abuser by any stretch of the imagination. It does seem like what he was taking may have been some over-the-counter stuff that just happened to have a banned substance in it. But it's just an important note. It doesn't matter if it was over-the-counter. It doesn't matter. You as an athlete are responsible for what you're putting in your body, and I've heard USADA say it. If you have a question, let us know. We will test that supplement for you. We will read the label. We will educate you. We are here as a resource. Yes, we're here to catch you if you're wrong. I mean, they're definitely here to catch you. But it's about prevention and education too, and I just think it's important for these athletes to realize and know, dude, just, you know what, man, take everything you have. If for some reason there's a USC fighter listening to this right now, first of all, God bless you.
God forbid that.
But,
love you, dude. Yeah. I love you.
But, you know, take everything you have. Don't forget one thing, man. Everything you have. And take it and call USADA. Get Jeff Nowitzki there. Let them look at every damn thing you have. They'll test it if they need to. And get yourself covered so that something like this doesn't happen to you. Hopefully, we haven't seen how this is going to work out. We're going to find out real quick. Hopefully, there's some kind of situation in place where they can kind of overlook this, or, you know, they can be like, well, we do see it came from something over the counter, and we're not going to give you 2 years. Maybe we're going to give you a year. We'll see how this all works out. I don't know. He can appeal it. But, man, just let this be a lesson for everybody, man. use the resources that are there for you so this doesn't happen to you.
Yeah, I feel like we should take some of the audio of, like, Commissioner Pat Lundvall asking everybody, like, do you understand this with this substance and blah, 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 and just play that audio to everybody. Maybe they can give it to the UFC so when they have their fighter summit, so they could just hear that voice just drilled into their heads, like, you know, just like do the right things, you know. But it's funny, I just happened to look on the UFC website, and one of their links still shows that it's Cowboy versus Means. Ha ha, fix your website, UFC.
Gosh.
But if you click on the link, it does take you to where it's the right one. But I'm just kidding. I'm not bitter. I'm just saying.
Like, you know these people, dog.
You know, it's like you know these people.
All right. Well, listen, you may have noticed through the show, we've got some music that we normally use, the road show music, that you may have heard also. We have licensed that to the NFL to use a couple of times.
That's right.
Our road show
theme music. Still waiting on that check.
They have used that every now and then. But you may have noticed some different music. That is because we were playing some music that was given to us by DJ AL3, the official DJ of the UFC. You say, why the hell did they have music from DJ AL3? That's because Cole Coffey, just being the entrepreneurial journalist that he is, just the guy that's out there, had time to kill before the open workouts today and said, you know what? I'm going to go talk to my man AL3 over there. I'm going to go holler at him. Let's just talk. I mean, we're always looking for something different to do here. Who, you know, what kind of different interview can we give you? Who can we talk to? What can we do something a little different? And so you went and talked to AL3.
Yeah, it was great. I mean, it's been something I've been meaning to do for a long time. I think he's been one of the nicest guys. Dealt with him a lot when I was still working for the UFC. I love what he does. I wasn't the biggest electronic, you know, music fan until I think I probably came out to Vegas. I think it's hard to not let it get into your bones out here because it's everywhere you go out here. And then you go to the UFC fights, you know, and then it's drilled in more. So, you know, it was great. You know, I've always kind of picked his brain, and he's always been, you know, very, very nice at events. And I just figured, I was like, man, how did you get that job? You know, and so just picked his brain to just figure out. I think a lot of people, I figure, would maybe wonder, you know, I think they go to these events and they hear the music. And it's funny, if you've ever been to a weigh-in and you see him do his thing, and you, especially like the Irish attendant ones, you start to feel you're at like a rave, and you're just like, what the heck? And with talking with him, you know, it was neat, you know, and over the time, and part of this comes out in the interview as well, is that he really takes it serious. It's not just like he approaches it like, all right, here I am just going to play random music that I know is popular. He really thinks about the fighters that are involved with the different events. So he really sort of researches and tries to decide what's the best way to pick the music that should play. So I figured I'd give him a chance to kind of voice a little bit about how he got the job and, you know, maybe if he had some words of wisdom to other aspiring DJs. And this is what came out of it.
I got chills, man. I can't believe it's really going to happen. It is going to happen.
Albert, first, I got to ask you, how did you even get that gig? How did you get the Covenant UFC DJ spot?
First off, my dream gig. I'm a three-time national DJ champion, but holding the title of the official DJ of the UFC is like the biggest thing for me. I've been a UFC fan since it started in 1992. Used to train under Shahram Mousavi. I actually still train under Shahram Mousavi and Jeet Kune Do. Trained under Megaton Diaz in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. Fell in love with the art. Was doing radio in Phoenix. I put together a mix CD so that I could train. After I got done doing this mixtape, which was compiled of music that makes you want to just fight, hit the heavy bag, do some takedowns, I told my girl, I said, hey, if Dana White ever hears this mix CD, he'll ask me to be the DJ for the UFC. Told all my friends, told my team, everybody thought I was crazy. So for 4 years, I kept mailing this CD to Dana White at the UFC offices, priority mail. He never got it. Every time I'd come to Vegas, I'd carry the CD. Lo and behold, 4 years later, I get to meet Dana White. I'm DJing at LAX at the time. He's there. I have him come into the DJ booth. I give him the CD. I tell him that if he listens to it, I won't waste his time, that he'll understand what I'm talking about, that I could take the entertainment value of the UFC, not that they needed it, but I could take it to the next level, draw some block rocking beats on the audience and the fighters. A month later, he called me up, flew me to Boston to DJ a private party for him with the House of Pain. A month later, he made it official, told me I'd be starting with the UFC. That was going on 7 years ago, and still dropping beats at the arenas and happy to be here.
That's incredible. So who's the first call? Who's the first person you call to say, I made it, I got the call, I got the gig? Who'd you call?
Holy cow. That's awesome you brought that up. First person was my girl. She didn't answer the phone. Then I called my boy, Eric Rocha, who had believed in me for 4 years, even developed a website just to showcase that mix in hopes that Dana would hear it. I called him up. I actually drove around Vegas for 45 minutes aimlessly, not knowing what to do. I was starving. I was hungry, but I was so excited. I didn't know what I wanted to eat, didn't know where I wanted to go. So I was driving around Vegas for like 45 minutes, not knowing what to do, wanting to call the entire world. So it was awesome.
That's amazing. And I got to imagine performing, you know, at an event, a UFC event, it's got to be a little bit different than, say, you're doing like a club show. How are the differences between the two, or are they very similar?
At a club show, I'll do like usually a two-and-a-half-hour set, so I have time to get the audience into it, you know, the crowd into it, build up a momentum. At the UFC events, sometimes I'll get like maybe 2 minutes, 90 seconds, 3 minutes, and in that short period of time, I got to have the most impact that I could have for the moment. So it's boom, 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 taking little snippets of songs, whether it's rock, EDM, trap, hip-hop, combining it all together to try to get the crowd as hyped as possible.
And now I've talked to you before. You don't just go and put songs together that are popular for the day. I've heard you tell me before that you take into account the fighters that are playing, that are fighting, the different guys, whether, you know, it's maybe a Carlos Condit or a Big Rig, you know, or somebody. But you take that into account.
Exactly. I try to figure out what I think the fighter is going to be into, what the audience is going to be into at the time, and the energy in the arena. And then I go from there. Some fighters, I could tell, might lean more towards a Rage Against the Machine, Five Finger Death Punch, where some other fighters might lean more towards EDM or some hip-hop. So I try to think about that, try to combine it all together, try to make everybody as happy as possible.
What's been probably the most memorable event for you? I know that me personally, I've been there when you've been DJing, you know, and say there's been an Irish crowd that's gone crazy or a Brazilian crowd that's gone crazy. Are there any memories that really stand out that, man, I can't believe this is happening?
All right. First fight, UFC 98. I was so nervous, blown away. It was amazing. Then we also have when we first time we went to Toronto at the Rogers Center, 55,000 seats. Then recently in Melbourne, Australia, for the Ronda Rousey and Holly Holm fight. That was incredible. Also, the UFC weigh-ins that we did for UFC 189, oh my God, with Conor McGregor and all the Irish fans, it was through the roof. And that was just a weigh-in. And I'm talking like the energy in the MGM Grand Arena was just insane. I mean, people always overuse the word epic, but it was literally epic. It was crazy.
I think it's amazing. I think you've been lucky enough to find one of those jobs that's probably a lot of people's dream jobs. You know, you're creating art for a living. Can you maybe just say, like, what got you into DJing and wanting to be a DJ? And what would you maybe say to somebody that's out there aspiring to do what you do?
I knew that I wanted to be a DJ from the time that I was a kid. I heard Grandmaster Flash, Herbie Hancock. I saw Herbie Hancock's concert on ABC TV with Grand Mixer DST up there scratching. And I was like, that's what I want to do. And that's all I've ever done. I've been lucky to do that. Had a job at McDonald's when I was 17. Best job I ever had, because it taught me that I wanted to work hard so I didn't have to flip burgers again. So I've just been DJing, been lucky enough to do that. To any aspiring DJs, I would say put the music first, the audience, having a good time second, and stay grounded. Everybody wants to be a DJ today, but you gotta do it because you love the music. You love making people happy. You love putting stuff together, but stay grounded. That's all I can say on that one.
All right, and finally, besides finding you at one of these UFC events where somebody can hear you, where can they see you next?
Next Friday, February 12th, I'll be in Atlantic City at Harrah's, the Pool After Dark, rocking some tunes there. A week later, looking forward to going to Pittsburgh, rocking some tunes there. So you can log on to my website, al3.com, and find out where I'll be.
cool. And yeah, you got a Twitter handle, anything that people could follow you on?
ALMF3 is my Twitter handle. Also from my SoundCloud, ALMF3. You can go there, get all my mixes absolutely free. Bump them in your iPhone, your Android, in your car, what have you. All my mixes free, SoundCloud, ALMF3.
AL3, the official DJ of the UFC.
All AL3 mixes are available for free download at AL3.com.
Welcome back to the MMA Roadshow. That was DJ AL3 and Cole Coffey on the interviewing tip right there. My man is well versed in all styles. He can do a little bit of everything. He's becoming a utility player.
That's what I do.
Can do a little
That's what I try. You know, just to stay humble, just like Mr. Rochelt and other guys, I'm trying to get better. It's something I'm working on. You know, I've always been behind the camera, and, you know, it's one of those things that even at the UFC, didn't want to hear our voice. They didn't want us to do the things. You know, we kind of had to cut all that out. So, you know, getting to a point where working for an organization, it's like, no, it's cool. Just chat. Do your thing, you know. So it's kind of good, you know. So it's something I'm working on, you know, something I'm trying to get better. You know, I like talking to the guys, and you know, if I can get past listening to my own voice, you know,
it's I get not it, so man. Bad. I'm a writer by trade. I've learned to take still pictures over the year. I'm not that great at it. I'm no Esther Lynn. I learned to do video stuff. You know, I'm trying to learn the back end. I'm no Ken Hathaway right there doing video editing and all that stuff. But hey, man, that's the new reality, dude. If you want to be in this game, you got to do a little bit of everything, or it's just not going to happen. So, good work there, my man.
So, appreciate that.
UFC Fight Night 82 this Saturday night. Once again, as we have done the past couple of weeks, we will have a post-fight show for you as well. I've been getting great, fantastic feedback on that. So, thank you very much. I'm glad people are enjoying that. Certainly gives us a chance to kind of wrap up things and you know, bring you kind of what was happening backstage. So definitely looking forward to that. I'll say it one more time, at MMA Junkie John, at Ken S. Hathaway, of course, the MMAroadshow.com, and iTunes, Stitcher, rate us, review us, do all those things. We're trying to blow this thing up. I don't know how. We don't have a business plan or anything yet, but we're just trying
we're
to grow
it.
We don't know grow it in what direction, but we're just going to grow it. So listen, the little man is getting restless over here. I feel like even though the alluring story of Toy Story is fantastic, it's almost like he's seen it like 7,000 times and is bored with it. So I will pull myself away from the microphone and go tend to this little man before he goes absolutely crazy. So for everybody that has been paying attention and listening to what we do here, let me just say thanks for listening. I just leave it right there. You put the intro and everything.
I didn't mean to.
No, I started to say something. I was like, that's perfect.
We're at Steven's bits. It's just a little
so
bit.
So awful. We got in trouble last show. We were too irresponsible. We got called out. All right.
Yep.
All
right. I forgot about that.
This is honest.
Hey, do me a favor. Say, that's what she said. Good boy.
Buddy. Aw, thank you, buddy. You're my best friend, too.
Aw, Eli, you're one of my best friends, too. Good answer. Nothing. He's like Yeah. His fucking mugshot here on the UFC.com is like,
oh, wow.
I mean, like, Jared, come on. But, you know, they can't petition back and say, hey, can you change my fucking mugshot? Like, he looks like he's, like super
Jared
constipated.
Jared Rosal arrested on battery charges this morning at 4 o'clock in the morning. Police responded to his house.
She'd be like, guys, I smile. I fucking smile.
Like, whatever you do, don't have any expression. Okay.
They used to actually change it. See, somebody needs – this is another thing. When they start rising up the rankings, I'll clue you in. They start rising up the rankings, and most of the other guys, they have their posing that plays
right
here at the side. He'll show them, like, hitting either in front of the light board or whatever.
Yeah.
So if he's not getting enough stuff, nobody's went back to this page and updated that with his posing stuff. It's still just the gray bar off to the side.
It's a little insight there.
Yeah.
It's It's a little insight.
Like, if let's go to like, we'll just click on Johnny. Let's see what Johnny's. Well, that
or
might
not
be true.
Things changed.
Maybe they've changed because if Johnny doesn't have it, you know. When did actually, they did used to have a little background.
They did. I know exactly what you're talking about because I see it. So when did the don't show any nipple directive come out?
Oh, I don't know. They should get rid of that one. All right, so maybe they've changed it because now they're not showing it. Maybe they went that way because they weren't updating them.
Probably.
And so they were just like, let's just go gray so that nobody has to update it. Because if Connor doesn't have it, then they're not doing it. So I take that back. So something has changed in the time that I've been gone, which is coming up on at the end of this month, a year.
A year.
That's crazy. Crazy. While.
All right, we good?
Yeah.